Blog Talk Radio.
Amado Pai, neste momento, Senhor, nós te damos graças, ó Deus, e louvamos, ó Pai, pelo Teu imenso amor pelas nossas vidas, Senhor. Te agradecemos, ó Pai, por mais esta oportunidade de estarmos juntos, ó Deus, com nossos amados irmãos, para unidos, ó Deus, cultuarmos, ó Deus, o Teu santo nome. E tudo aquilo que nós viemos fazer, Senhor, seja somente para a Tua honra e para a Tua glória, e que somente o Teu nome, ó Pai, possa ser engrandecido. E através das nossas vidas, ó Deus, muitos possam ser alcançados para Ti, Senhor, e que cada um dos nossos amados ouvintes, tanto os que nos ouvem agora, como os que nos ouvirão posteriormente, eles possam ser, Senhor, tocados pelo Teu Espírito Santo. É isso que nós já te pedimos, em nome de Jesus. Amém. Saudamos todos os nossos amados ouvintes com a graça e a paz do Senhor Jesus Cristo, dando a todos uma boa noite ou uma boa madrugada. Que você esteja conosco hoje mais uma vez, para juntos podermos guerrear e aprendermos um pouco mais esse universo que o Espírito Santo tem concedido a cada um de nós, junto com os nossos amados irmãos. Bom, como vocês viram, hoje o nosso programa vai falar sobre a graça vencedora. E nós vamos estar com o irmão Marcos e o irmão Curtis, que são da Reserva Indígena Americana Pioneer Ridge. Então, fiquem conosco e desfrutem desse momento. Deus os abençoe, em nome de Jesus. Amém.
Father, and sisters, thank you for your presence. Welcome all to another battle, another journey through the desert, this world. We have tonight our great warriors from the Pine Ridge Reservation, Brother Curtis, Brother Marcos, are here to help us to understand a little bit more about the grace of God, the grace that make us overcomers of this world, make us winners, and they are here to help us to understand what are our rights on this war that already Jesus has won for us. We just need to wait to walk with him, and everything that Jesus conquered, it's ours, because it's grace. Grace of Lord. But even being the conqueror that Jesus is, he has a plan for each one of us to share its glory. We will understand that grace, it's so vast to our life that God shared the opportunity to all of us to share his glory, not because of our strength, our intelligence, because he knows that the glory of winning the devil and the dark forces, the glory that belongs to Jesus, something that it's so wonderful to share with us that we would like to share. So he gives us the opportunity to fight for our salvation, to fight the good fight with him, and you see that grace, it's something that will fall in your life sooner or later. If you remain in the faith that brings that grace of God, because salvation comes from faith. So we will be talking about this grace, and what we will be talking about this grace, that's when we fall from the grace and become deceived by the dark forces, trying to reach that grace by other ways. So there's grace and there's this grace. There's a lot of people that on these days they are falling from the grace and becoming with this grace in their lives, because they stopped following Jesus Christ. A lot of them, they don't even understand that's what happened in their lives. But tonight, my brothers and my sisters, pray with us. Join us, join this caravan, because I know that God has grace. Lots of grace for you, for me. And at the end of this show, I am sure that after Brother Marcos and Curtis help us to understand the grace of God, we will be stronger on that grace. We'll be capable to preserve that grace even better than now in our lives, in the lives of the ones that we love, that we are asking God to touch them, and with the knowledge comes the strength, and with the strength, the spiritual strength that comes by the grace, only the grace, we will overcome, as Jesus overcome this world. May the Lord bless us all, and let's rejoice for some moments in the presence of God, before we bring our dear brothers join us here. Stay blessed in Jesus Yahushua name.
adorado por anjos, pregado entre as nações, crido no mundo e recebido na glória. A Ele eu adoro, a Ele eu adoro, a Ele eu adoro com todo o meu coração. A Ele eu adoro, a Ele eu adoro, a Ele eu adoro com todo o meu coração. Aquele que foi manifestado na carne, justificado pelo Espírito de Deus, contemplado por anjos, pregado entre as nações, crido no mundo e recebido na glória. A Ele eu adoro.
Thank you. Come on.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, you declare it.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power.
There is power.
Know where it is to break every chain, break every chain. Come on, say to break every chain. There's an army rising.
Father, once again I ask for your grace. Bless Brother Mark, bless Brother Curtis, and take us to your table now. Take us and lead us to your grace, and bless your children here, which one from their necessities, but they need, bring your grace to all of us, in Jesus' name. Amen. I think we have our brothers already online. Let me just confirm. Hello, my brother. You are live. I think you are Brother Marcus, right?
Grace and peace. This is Brother Marcus, and I believe Curtis is also on the line. God bless you tonight, my brother. It's so much of an honor to be with you again tonight and share about the amazing grace of God, and I'm looking forward to the teaching tonight.
Amen, Brother Mark. It's our honor, as always. Let me just confirm, Brother Curtis. My brother.
Hello
Curtis,
there, my
are you
brother.
There?
Hey, yes, my brother. I'm here. Doing good, my brother. It's good to be back with my brothers in the Lord and all those that can hear.
Hey, it's always a pleasure to hear your voice, to have a family gathering. Rejoice with in the Lord with you and Brother Marcus here and all the Lakota people. Welcome again. Okay, I will send the leading of this show to you and to Brother Marcus, please. It's your show now. Take us where you want. Brother Marcus, can you start?
Yes, I'm looking forward to sharing this word tonight. The Holy Spirit really dropped this word about the grace of God into my heart. And I know we teach a lot about warfare, and I think that as I share this teaching tonight, the listeners will be able to see how even the grace of God is very important in warfare. I want to begin with a scripture tonight found in the Epistle of Ephesians, and I want to read verse 4 and 5 of Ephesians chapter 2. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, which means to make alive, us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And Brother Jose, every true believer who has called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and has repented of sin, they were saved by God's amazing grace. They were saved because the Holy Spirit drew them to the Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit convicted them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And so through that redemption, we've experienced the saving grace of God. And every believer, again, is saved by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not something we earn. It's not something we do. It's simply the unmerited favor of God to bring us to a saving knowledge of his Son, Jesus. Now, that said, if you look through the scriptures, and I'm going to take you tonight from the book of Revelation back to the book of Genesis, and I'm going to share certain different manifold aspects of God's grace. And I want to go to Genesis next and read some scripture from there. And you're going to find why God's grace is so important in the times that we're living in. Is his grace revealed beyond just his saving grace? There's another aspect of grace here that I want to teach on tonight in Genesis chapter 6. So I'm just going to read verses 1 through 8 real quickly, Brother Jose, and I believe the listeners will be blessed by this. Genesis 6:1 says, "And it came to pass, when the men began to be multiplied upon the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God," and we know that these sons of God are talking about the fallen angels, "saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, and yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the land, in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were old, or of old, and men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was continually evil. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." But now let's look closely at verse 8. "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." Now, let me address the context, and Brother Jose, you're quite knowledgeable in the context of this passage, and I trust our listeners have been taught well in this as well. But in Genesis 6, this is where we see the fallen angels coming up on the plains of the earth. They came to Mount Hermon, and there they began to have relationships with human women, and they bear giants. And God saw that the evil and the wickedness of man was so great that the scripture says that the Lord himself wanted to repent, that he even made humanity. But through all the depths of sin, all the perversion, that was taking place, all the corruption that was taking place with the DNA of human women, all the corruption that was taking place between fallen angels and even the beasts of the earth and even the other parts of creation upon the earth, even the fowls of the air and even the other plants were corrupted by the influence and the schemes and wiles of these fallen angels. But as bad as it was in that situation, we find the scripture saying in Genesis 6:8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, why did Noah find grace? Why did Noah and his family, amen, find a kind favor with God? Well, in verse 9, it says, these are the generations of Noah, and Noah was a just man who was perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. Now, in that context there, we find that even though the population of the earth was corrupted because of the influence of fallen angels, that Noah, his genetic structure, there was no genetic defect in Noah. There was no hybrid fallen angel contamination that Noah experienced in his human genome, his human makeup on the level of DNA. But we find that God said in his word, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, we know that Jesus said that in the last days, it'll be just like the days of Noah. So we are going to be having to watch for and contend with another unveiling and releasing of fallen demonic spirits, fallen angel influence in the days right prior to the Lord gathering unto himself a chosen bride and a righteous remnant. So this is why this grace is so important. The same grace that Noah found in the eyes of the Lord is the same type of grace that we, as we enter into the days of Noah in these end times, we're going to need that same type of grace. And when I began to look at the word grace in the Hebrew context there, I found that it meant it was the kind favor of God, but it also specifically dealt with the protective and the directive grace of God. And we find that Noah, because he walked with God, through grace was protected from having his DNA influenced by fallen angel contamination. Not only was Noah protected, amen, from this evil influence of the fallen angels and the corruption that was in the earth, but we also find that God began to later give him a directive by grace. So there was a protective and a directive grace that Noah had access to. He was protected from the contamination, but then we also find that God gave him instructions to build an ark to the saving of his own household. And Brother Jose, I believe with all my heart that we are going to see the words of Jesus fulfilled. We are going to see an invasion of a new dimension of demonic activity and fallen angel influence in these days that we're living in. And so we're going to have to pull upon that same grace that Noah walked in. It's another aspect of grace beyond just the grace of salvation. And I'm no way belittling that, because our salvation is great, according to Hebrews, how great a salvation that we have. Even the angels of God desire to look into the salvation that we as believers have. But Brother Jose, I'm convinced firmly that we are going to have to walk with God, stay uncontaminated, amen, stay pure, stay under the blood of Jesus, and not give an inch to the adversary, and walk undefiled, walk in this filthy world with a heart where we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So I exhort the believers tonight that as we look at the grace that Noah walked in, God is no respecter of person. And if God had that measure of infinite favorable mercy under the old covenant, and now we have a new covenant by the precious blood of Jesus, how much more, amen, sufficient is that saving, protective, and directive grace of God. You see, I believe, Brother Jose and listeners tonight, that as we enter into the darkness of these evil days that we're in, that same amazing protective directive grace that Noah had access to, we will have greater access because the veil has been rent, the blood of Jesus has been spilled, it's also been applied to the altar in heaven, and it has made provision for divine protection and divine direction. So, Brother Jose, that is good news tonight, that as we enter into a time of replay where we're going to see again these evil creatures come from different dimensions into the manifestation upon planet Earth, that we don't have to be fearful. We don't have to be contaminated. We have a relationship with Jesus where we can experience his grace protection and his grace direction. And I believe that as I look prophetically at Genesis chapter 6, when God began to instruct Noah how to make an ark and how to build an ark, I believe that there's going to be, amen, the ultimate ark, which is Jesus himself. Jesus is our protection. Jesus is our direction. Jesus is our salvation. Jesus is our strength. Yeshua HaMashiach is everything that we need, amen, to stand, and having done all to stand in these last and evil days. But I took great comfort, Brother Jose, in that scripture where it says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And to find grace in the eyes of the Lord, that means that when Noah walked with him, he had to have a face-to-face relationship. And I believe, brothers and sisters, tonight that God is wanting us to have a face-to-face, an intimate relationship with him, that we can find that same type of protective and directive type of grace that Noah found. Isn't that good news, Brother Jose?
Yes, Brother Mark.
Amen.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Brother Jose, I do believe you're cutting in and out there.
Okay, hold on. What about now?
Oh,
okay,
yeah,
you're
good and clear.
Much better.
Okay, thank you, Brother Curtis. I will pass you the word now, but I just want to energize this. Jesus said that as in the days of Noah will be on the days that when you will be coming. But I think, Brother Marcus, I think Curtis and family, that what we are going to talk about tonight, the grace, it's one of the things that we need to understand deeply. That as in the days of Noah, people were deceived by this fallen angel, seducted. We are assisting the same strategies now, but even more deceitful. If we don't ask the discernment of spirits to the Holy Spirit, if we don't try to follow and look only for the example of Jesus Christ, we will be deceived, because we have warnings all around the Bible and the example of life, those who walk with Jesus, that they warn us that our adversary, it's deceivable, it's he is smart. Peter warned us against his trick, because he's walking around us. He's already here. He never left. He just became invisible for a while. Now he will become these guys as aliens, as our brothers in space and things like this. But if we don't, as says in Colossians, I will put the link here on chat. If we continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which we have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under the heaven, where I, Paul, I am made a minister. Look, Paul warned us, Peter warned us, that we cannot move our hope. What is the hope of the gospel? Is it the scriptures? Is it the church? The Bible says Christ is our hope. Christ.
Yes.
So you better believe, my brother and my sister, that on these days, discernment will not be that thing that makes the difference between right and wrong. The discernment that the body of Christ needs now is the discernment between what is completely right, what is completely according to Jesus' teaching, and that things that are almost similar, but a little bit different of what Jesus said. This is the real discernment that we need, the spiritual discernment. Because we have an adversary that will talk like the lamb.
Yes.
Maybe we'll start acting like a lamb. But in the end, Revelation book said that he will be as the dragon. He will act as a devil. So we need discernment before the manifestation of the man of the sea. He will come as an angel. And this is the problem.
Yes.
The hope of the gospel, it's not the gospel. Even Jesus said the gospel doesn't have in him eternal life. It's me the gospel says. It's me the scriptures talk. You see that the serpent seed already on that time was trying
right.
to use the scriptures to derive man from Jesus Christ. Today we are seeing the same thing. We are seeing all around us people looking for Israel, looking for the church, the human body, looking for the authorities of church, looking for twisted scripture from outside of context, trying to pay his salvation every month with the money that they earn with the sweat of his body, reducing the grace of Jesus Christ in their life, reducing Jesus, bargaining with Jesus Christ, bargaining with the Father, bargaining. This is the great deception. And when that entities become as saviors, to try to put this planet in order, most of us, if we don't see with the spiritual eyes that the hope of the gospel is Jesus Christ in us, it's our legacy. This is the great treasure we all have inside. If we start following man, if you start following destroying strongholds ministry, if you start following only Brother Marcus, you become an idol, a trap in your life.
Yes.
Because your hope, my hope, must be Jesus in us, the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ in ourselves. We are the temple of God, not the temples of brick. They are instruments. If they stay, if they teach, they remain in the true hope of gospel. There's no problem in congregation if they preach and live the true hope of God. They are blessing.
Very well said, my brother.
It's good to be around brothers and sisters. But better, it's good to be around them, saved in Jesus Christ, not in the bricks. Brother Max, can you please tell us what you think? Not Marcus,
well,
Brother Curtis. Sorry.
You did an excellent job expounding that, because you brought our attention to the need to have the discernment of the Holy Spirit in these trying times that we're living in. These seducing spirits, these doctrines of demons are prevalent. And without the discerning of the Spirit of God, people are going to be so easily removed. In fact, this is something that the Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 1. He said, I marvel that you're so removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel. Brother Jose, we're seeing men being influenced by seducing spirits and doctrines of demons right now. They're perverting the gospel. They're taking the power of the gospel of the cross with Jesus as the focus and pointing it to everything but Jesus. And Paul also warned this in that same chapter in verse 8. He said, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel
right.
unto you than that which is preached unto you, let him be accursed. And Brother Jose, I believe that we're seeing the influence of fallen angels take over some of the preachers of today, and they're beginning to preach another gospel. And we must have
right.
that same apostolic attitude towards them that Paul had. Let them be accursed. And understand, Paul said, whether it be a man, okay, or an angel, preach any other gospel. So I believe that there's an influence of these religious spirits, fallen angel-type spirits, influencing preachers away from the true gospel of the kingdom, which always lifts up Jesus, and pointing it to everything but him. And that's why you so eloquently said a while ago that we have to depend upon the discerning of the Holy Spirit. We've got to try the spirits. The Bible teaches us to try the spirits. Now, hold fast to that which is good, but everything that's being said out there isn't good. Everything that's being taught out there isn't godly. There is such a deceptive nature, an apostate appetite today in the institutionalized church that these things have crept in. Evil teachers have crept in. False teachers, false prophets have crept in to seduce and weaken the people of God. And so we have to be on our post, watching with the discernment of the Holy Spirit and not showing any mercy whatsoever against any false doctrine, anything that's not of
right.
truth, any spirit of error. We must show no mercy to it, because we cannot afford to. We've seen the body of Christ be seduced and weakened to a point now that unless the Holy Spirit shakes us and wakes us, we are in for a time of the greatest opportunity for the world to be deceived because of these prophetic times we're living in and prophecy being fulfilled than ever before. But we need the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Ruach of God, the breath of God to be operative in us so that we know how to discern between the profane and the holy. Too many believers today, they don't have the ability in the Holy Spirit to discern what's truth and what's error because they've not been taught to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And when you develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit, that's not taking anything away from Jesus, because when the Holy Spirit
right.
is ruling in your life, he will exalt Jesus. He will lift up the name of Jesus, the person of Jesus. Everything that Jesus was, the Holy Spirit will take of the Father and teach it to you if you're walking in the Spirit and living by the Spirit. But, brother, you did such a profound job a while ago expounding on that and sounding the alarm, and I commend you on that. And there's another scripture. I want to go to Revelation chapter 22, verse 21. And there's another word, the word grace, same word, but another diversity of meaning with the word grace here. And it's the very last scripture in the book of Revelation, and I think that's so important. The very last scripture in the book of Revelations, in chapter 22, mm-hmm. verse 21, says this, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Now, when I looked at that word in the Greek, it had a reference to a divine godly influence, and it pertained to a supernatural empowerment or an enabling grace. And Brother Jose, I believe that as we are raised up as a righteous remnant warrior army, and I, by the way, I commend you on the music you did tonight on your program. It was powerful. It was anointed. You had some awesome worship music. And God is raising up that righteous remnant of people who are going to be supernaturally empowered with his enabling grace, with the very divine influence of Jesus himself, to be able to stand, and having done all to stand, and to fight that good fight of faith. We are not weak because he is our strength. We don't have the ability, we don't have the strength, we don't have the wisdom and knowledge to stand on our best day in ourselves. But his grace in us that enables us to see afar off, to discern, to live righteous by his indwelling grace within us, and to be supernaturally empowered to break and destroy every chain and fetter of the enemy. That's the grace of God that I'm trusting in for myself and for all my other brothers and sisters in Jesus across this world, to allow him to rise so strong as that righteous warrior. You know, Jesus is the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the earth, but he's also the Lion of Judah. And when the Lion of Judah stands up inside a believer, amen, watch out, devil. Watch out, darkness. Because amen. When Jesus cried, "It is finished," on the cross, amen, he took the power of the sting of death and deceit and deception and destruction away from us. But we have to enforce that victory here on this planet Earth. He's given us, amen, a part to labor in the work that he finished, to enforce it. Amen, to let Satan know that he can't just have any way, shape, or form to do what he wants to do. That there is a restraining power, which is the Holy Spirit in the indwelling, indwelling the believers in these last days. If it was not for the restraining power of the Holy Spirit in true, redeemed, saved believers, then the devil would have, you know, free reign to do what he wants. But there is a salt, there is a light that's left in this earth to shine brighter and to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. And that is the body of Christ. And so that enabling grace, Brother Jose, is what's going to cause you to do more than you ever have done for the Lord, your listeners. It's going to be that enabling grace of God that allows them to do the greater works of Jesus. Amen. To untie the fetters and chains and relieve the victims of bondage from the prince of the power of the air. To destroy the, amen, darkness of their mind by praying through intercessory prayer, the righteous prayer of God, and praying the light of the gospel penetrate their dark minds and dark hearts. Amen. We have a glorious opportunity in this end time to stand as the bold believers in Jesus and do what Father said we can do. Amen. To manifest his power, his love, his authority by his enabling grace. But it's only going to be by his enabling grace. You know, I cannot empower myself. We have to have his empowerment. And that's exactly why Jesus said the Holy Spirit is going to come. Because he's going to endue you with power from on high. That means from the very kingdom of God. We have the very forces of the very kingdom of God behind us through the person of the Holy Spirit indwelling us and moving through us, operating through us. But, oh, my God, brother, how we need this discernment, as you mentioned, of the Holy Spirit, because Satan is pulling out all punches. He knows his time is short. He knows he's on a short chain. And he knows that what he's got to do, he's got to do now. And he's going to come down to make wrath against the saints. But with the enabling grace of God, brother, we can outwit the adversary, and there is going to be that righteous remnant that's going to stand and not fall, not bend, not bow to the darkness, not bend and bow to temptation, not bend and bow to sin. But they're going to love righteousness and hate iniquity and be, amen, God's light and salt in this earth.
Amen. Brother Curtis, do you want to comment?
Amen, Brother Curtis.
yes, my brothers. Well, to me, the title of today's show for me is very prevalent, and I was looking at that, matter of fact, right before the show started. His overcoming grace. That, to me, takes on a whole new meaning, because that is the reason why I am here. That is how I'm able to be alive today, sharing the gospel with our brothers and sisters. It was by his overcoming grace that I wasn't taken out prior to this.
That's right.
I can look back on, I just want to share a quick moment.
Take your time, Curtis.
Back whenever I was going into the world, whenever I was still a part of the world and still doing the things that, let's face it, that most kids do, most young adults still do, I can look back and think how many times my life was almost cut short, where I've been car wrecks, I've been around crowds by in areas in Florida that I thank God I did not die because of that. I've had a gun pointed to my head and somebody basically threatening to rob me and take all the things I had, leave me in a lake, and that would be the end of it. And I was thinking to myself, I was like, huh. After I got saved, I was sitting back and I was thinking, wow, how many times God saved me by his grace. It was by his grace alone. Now, I know some people, they get kind of wigged out and twisted out over the idea and the thought of the word grace. Some religious folks, they think that that is a title for you to do whatever you want, however you want, and still live a godly lifestyle. And if those of you out there are thinking about that, thinking, wow, you know, I can continue living my old sinful ways or my old nature and still be a servant of God, I got some news for you. No. yeah, brother Jose, just real quick, looks like half the chat room got dropped there for a second. I don't know. I guess they'll come back in eventually.
I don't know what happened. Maybe.
I don't know.
Just let me check here if they give some feedback. You know,
all right.
Still on the air.
Yeah, we're still here.
Yes, you and Brother Marcus, you can hear me because you are on the phone, right?
Yeah, I can hear you well, brother.
Yes, I don't know if the people that are on.
This must be something messing up with Sky, with Blog Talk Radio. You know, hopefully they'll get a chance to come back in, or at least they're still listening to us on the computer. So,
I am not getting any feedback.
Okay, hold on 1 second, my brother. Don't know, my brother. Well, MB Knox says, what happened? It looks like a couple of our brothers and sisters out there got dropped, but we still do have two, so I'm assuming. Okay, we just had our sister. Well... Okay, see, people are getting dropped again. This is kind of weird. Ah,
yeah.
I rebuke you, devil.
they are not hearing us.
Hmm.
But I have everything okay here. I don't know what happened. Brother,
we'll just continue on and trust and believe that the message is getting out soon, amen. So, yes, back to what I was saying, the title of the show is very much so prevalent to me, brothers, because it is by God's grace that I did come up into him. You know, I did come to him. It was a God thing. It was an act of God.
Please, Curtis, they are saying they cannot hear at all.
Ah, okay, well. Well, okay, we shall get this. Give us 1 second, brothers and sisters. Okay.
Father, we have to help us in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, seems that people are coming back again. 8 people.
Okay. Okay, just brothers and sisters out there, just give us a response if we're coming in okay or if the audio is coming in clear. No. Okay, they're saying no, the audio is not coming in. That's a shame. Brother Jose, if you would just play a quick song until we get everything.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, okay. He says he hears you now. He hears you now, so that's
thank
a good thing.
Lord.
Okay, so we are being heard, huh? Oh, well, brothers and sisters out there, please bear with us. If you can hear us, just type something in on the chat room so we know you're there and everything's coming in clear. Okay. Back to the show.
Okay, go on. Okay.
Thank
you, Jesus. Amen.
Okay, thank you, Lord. Well, brothers and sisters, for those of you that have missed, I was just sharing a little bit about my testimony, how I look back and I can see that God's grace did keep me alive, and it was by his grace that I did come to him, and no harm came to me. Amen. I was just looking up in Ephesians 2:5 that says, made us alive with Christ, even when we are, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgression. It is by grace you have been saved.
Yes.
Now, brothers and sisters, that is a profound thing for me, because it is by God's grace that he did, that you did come to him. It was by God's grace we did not get kicked out or taken out before our time. Like, I look back at so many different hearing about the child abortions, about people's destiny getting cut short, people dying before their time. And, you know, I look back and I'm saying, wow, that could have been me. You know, I look back at all my friends' lives that have been cut short. Why? I don't know. You know, I know many of them have gone to the grave without knowing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And because of the things that happened in my life and the way I saw many friends falling left and right beside me, and they were all my age, many of them younger, and I was sitting there, I was like, God, how can I change this? How can I change the fact that these things are happening around me? There's got to be a way. And that's how I came to Christ, you know, that he showed me so much about him. And because of that, you know, that's here for you. And Brother Jose, I just wanted to touch on something real quick, then I'll give the mic back to you guys. About what you shared about right there at the end, about not focusing or not lifting up people in the sense of idols.
Yes.
And I cannot stress to you guys so much, the reason why we are here, me, Brother Jose, Brother Marcus, and many brothers out there, is so that you can be trained and equipped and you can learn and glean from the things we're sharing and go forth and reproduce.
Right.
The Bible talks about reproduce after your own kind. Well, spirit begets spirit. I really love that teaching that Brother Augusto said, how prophets beget prophets, apostles begot prophets, you know, teachers, evangelists, you know, the whole deal. That's why we are here, is so that you can't just, like, focus on us, because, you know, there's so much that the Lord wants to do for you. We're just there as a stepping stone, as a place where you can get up and rise above the things that we have come into. You look back in Scripture about all the apostles and prophets. Their main job was so you can surpass them. That is the Father's heart. You know, I'm not saying in the sense of, you know, worldly things. What I'm talking about is spiritual things. Amen. I'm talking about
amen.
The things that I hear so many times, Brother Jose, that people, you know, they say, Brother Marcus, you know, wow, you're such an anointed man of God. You know, I thank God for you. And I thank God for Brother Marcus, too. But, you know, I tell the people at our congregation is what we come into is here for you, too. That, you know, what I have learned or what the Lord is doing in me, he wants to do in you and greater. Plain and simple. So I just wanted to go ahead and. Brother Marcus, Brother Jose.
Okay, I want to go on, please, Brother Marcus.
Oh, brother, please go ahead. If you want to share something, go ahead. I'm with you here.
I just want to energize at this point what Curtis said about training the army, because that's the point that God anointed to do the job you want. To do not only to fulfill our dreams.
Right.
God has power to fulfill our dreams, but first comes the service to the kingdom. Even Jesus taught the disciples that the Lord will come and serve after we have done our service. That's why he is the Lord. First we
That's
serve
right.
them, serve him, then he serves us. But when he comes, he must find us. Serving him, He cannot find us beating the people, beating his children. He cannot find us drinking like drunks, partying, doing everything against the will of and the teachings of you.
Right.
If you think that you are on the grace of God, following men that stole the glory from Jesus Christ to their own project, people that think they can do things bigger, get privilege that Jesus never did, never charged from his people. And if you follow these guys, you better believe that you are following him. You are following fallen angels, not the angels from God, not messengers from God.
Right.
You are following the one he thought he could be like the Most High. Because that's the person, that's the spirit of the Antichrist. Be higher than the Most High to sit on his throne. And you can pass all your life preaching about the gospel that you never have experienced. Because you are on a system which the direct, you receive direct orders and you are obeying those that are obeying the Antichrist.
Yes.
Those that want to replace Christ in your life. And you are giving your firstborn rights. That's where you need to ask for God, the Holy Spirit, to guide you to all truth. That I put here the links, the scriptures that say this clearly. And I want to hear your comments, Brother Marcus, about this, because Jesus said to the apostle, "My grace is enough for you."
That's right.
My grace is enough. If we ask his grace every day, that's what I do. I don't ask, "God, I need this. God, I need that. God, I need..." Father knows what I need. If I am healed, I need health. If I need money, God knows that I need money. But when you ask grace for your day, you are asking everything.
That's right.
You are asking everything for your life. You are asking provision. You are asking health. You are asking direction. For each day, God will send his manna. And you will start seeing that God is all around you every day, even when you think that's only darkness. Just asking the grace for this day. And you will understand that his grace is enough. Maybe the problem, it's not solved when we want. But if you walk by faith, you will hear the Holy Spirit saying what Jesus said about this. Don't take care about tomorrow. Just take care about this day, because tomorrow God will take care. But the problem, my brother and my sister, is that most of us are not being taught to hear this voice. This is the voice of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't glorify ministries. It doesn't glorify scriptures. He uses scriptures to guide you to the teachings of Jesus Christ. The ultimate goal is you start understanding, obeying, have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why the scriptures are there. It's not to be used in contexts that are no longer for us. So when you hear that voice that glorifies other things than Jesus Christ, you better believe that you are following fallen angels, falling spirits.
Yes.
Jesus said in John 16:14, and I'm going to end here, pass you this, Brother Marcus, that the Holy Spirit, and it's on the shattering now, he shall glorify me.
Amen.
And you better write this on your heart, because the day when you hear me saying that the only person that has discernment on this land is the ministry destroying strongholds, you better get out of here fast. All I have is the grace. I am a sinner. I need the grace every day. Every day of my life. And in the day that you hear me talking different, the day that you hear that you can only find salvation if you hear our show, you better start running. Because I only give what I receive from the Holy Spirit. I only talk, my intention is to glorify that one who was crucified for me. I didn't die for you. Brother Marx didn't die for you, my brother and my sister. Your pastor, if he had to choose between his children, his carnal children and you, you better believe you were boiling on a cauldron now. But Jesus did. God, the Father sent his Son to die for you. And this is the big love. This is the real grace. It's not paying with 10% of your life.
Amen.
So you better start today rewriting your book, your ideas, taking captivity to Christ, to the example of life. And you must, really must, ask the Father, reveal me, Jesus Christ, in me. Give me that hope. I don't want to sell my firstborn right to nobody, to no ministry, to no book. God will use the scriptures, the Holy Bible, because it's a gift from God. It's Rhema word for you, but only is being used in the right terms if in the final you found Jesus Christ. Brother Marx?
Brother, let me just say this. I could listen to you teach so much because you speak the truth in love. You don't pull no punches. You don't diminish your word. And thank you, Brother Jose, for being a voice of truth out there. No compromise whatsoever. We need more men of God like yourself that have that, you know, ability to speak the truth in love. And, you know, I was thinking as you were speaking and sharing the Word of God that another application to the grace of God is in a context of spiritual warfare. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 5, let me just address a few verses there in verse 5 down through verse 8. But we find in verse 5 that the Bible says that we are to be clothed with humility. Now, why is that so important? Because the Bible says, for God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Now, we need the humility of the Lord, not any self-righteous attitude of humility. We need his true humility, which only he can give us. But the Bible says that he gives grace to the humble. And we can humble ourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season. That's what verse 6 says. And then in verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now listen to this in the context of grace that is given to the humble. This is why it's so important that we seek the Lord, look to him, who's the author and finisher of our faith, because in verse 8 it says, be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. And one of the easy targets, Brother Jose, to the adversary is those that have gotten, you know, away from the Lord. They've become proud, obstinate, disobedient, and they begin to embrace the pride of self-sufficiency or self-intellect or their own natural skills or ability. They've walked away from the simplistic grace of Jesus. And so we find that, you know, that the Lord will give grace to the humble, but we have to daily humble ourselves under his mighty hand. And when we do that, he promises that he will raise us up. But in this context, we are made aware of the adversary, the devil. He goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, in that context there, we understand that Satan is restrained. He can't just do anything that he wants to without the Lord, because who is the sovereign power? He has to get basically permission from the, you know, Father, who is in control, to do whatever he's allowed to do. He can't Satan does not have free reign per se, because if that be the case, we'd all be dead, because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But by the grace of God, we're kept. But we have to walk in that intimacy with the Lord Jesus and take upon the humility that Jesus had, because humility is not weakness. Humility is strength. True spiritual humility is strength, and it will keep us sober, and it will keep us vigilant, and it will keep us alert to the adversary when he comes, because he will come to try to seek to kill you, to destroy you, to take you out before your time. But we can resist him steadfast in our faith, trusting in that God is able to give us the grace to stand, that enabling grace to stand. And I want to go back and just mention this too, Brother Jose, because a lot of times in spiritual warfare, if we're not operating out of humility, and if we begin to operate in pride, we may begin to think that it is the devil who's resisting our, amen, ability to move forward or to occupy till Jesus comes. But we have to understand that it may not be the adversary who's resisting us. According to Scripture, it may be God if we have actually embraced any element of pride in our hearts. So we have to repent of pride. We have to be free of pride. And brother, let me say this, and I don't flatter no one because, you know, that's just not me. But, Brother Jose, you have a true spirit of humility. I can see that. I can sense that. I can feel that. Others can sense and see and feel that, because you've allowed yourself to be humbled many times under God's mighty hand. And that's why in this season, he's exalting you and raising you up in due season. Not that, you know, that our names are to be known or we're seeking fame or fortune or nothing like that, but it's simply the process of God. This is your time, brother. And God is, you know, pleased to work with you as his son, as you co-labor with him, because indeed you've been through his humbling process, you've humbled yourself, and that's why God is giving you grace. He's giving you grace because you've humbled yourself, and he's going to give you his enabling grace, his empowering grace, amen, to fulfill the call of God upon your life and to fulfill your course of ministry. The devil can't touch you. He can't take you out prematurely, because God's got your back. He's got you covered. He's got you in his humility. He's got you in his hand. Amen. You're walking in the love of God, speaking the truth in love. And again, brother, you know, the Lord is with you. And I know it's not easy to go through a humbling process. It's certainly not easy for me to humble myself sometimes. But like you said, God's grace is sufficient, because we want to stay humility of Jesus. We want to stay in active warfare. We want to stay ready in season and out, instant in season and out. We want to stay ready, alert in a military sense. We don't want to become dull of hearing. We don't want to become dull of seeing. We want to be ready to, amen, go at his bidding to the front line and engage in warfare and demolish the strongholds of Satan in the lives of those that he's oppressed. And to do that, we have to stand in humility. Humility is basically the discipline of the Lord being worked in us, that we won't do anything in our own way, strength, time, thought, or effort, but that everything we do is out of his humility. We do it in reliance on the Holy Spirit. It's not by might nor by power, but my grace, and that is the Spirit of the Lord giving that grace to us. Amen. So this grace is so important in this time of warfare that we're in. And, brother, if you'd like to comment on that, please go ahead.
Yes, I'm going to pass to Curtis, but I have to answer about that, Brother Marcus. I know when you talk, you don't flatter, because the same feeling I feel in you, the process of breaking the jar God is using, has used me in my life, he's using you. But the thing that I want to emphasize, what you said, Brother Marcus, is that even the fights, even the struggles, even the sickness, each fight we have after we give our life to our Lord, it's grace. God gives us the great teaching in the fights, in the struggles. We cannot see in the moment that we are suffering. But God, when we reach the other side of the struggle, of the trial. Give us the complete vision. And what remains, it's not the pain. You get the scars, you see. But with the scars comes the power. Because your strength, your faith, you start learning how good is depend on the power of God and not in yourself, not in your resources. And this is truly the truly relationship that we must have with God. If you don't have, if you think God is your friend to go drink, if you think that God is your friend to look for girls, no, God is your Father. He knows the times of your life. He knows what you need even better than you. I lost a lot of things, but there's one thing that I fought, and I want to give this to Curtis. There was one thing that I fought to be here tonight, speaking with what God has taught me. I fought for not to lose my gratitude to Jesus Christ. Even when God left the devil, took my father. Even when God let my bride get away and get another boyfriend. Even when God left so much serpents in my jobs trying to trick me, trying to make me lose the job. There's one thing that I put in my heart. I will not give up of loving Jesus Christ and serving Him. And when you cultivate this spirit, you get overcomer.
Yes.
We must be bold to say to God, God, I go to the throne, like in Hebrews, of grace, I need your help. I am your servant. But if you are not really a servant, if you are just a believer, God will not believe in your prayer. Because you will see when you should talk about Jesus, you prefer to shut up, not to lose your job, or not to contend with your ministry on the pulpit. Yep. And you accept being servants over the things than the truth, than the example of Jesus Christ. That's when your help doesn't come. And that's when happened what Brother Marcus was saying. It's God that's against you, not devil.
That's right.
It's God that's resisting your prayer. So the peace that I have to speak is because I have passed the trial. I fought for not losing my gratitude for my Lord, even if it cost the life of myself. And when you start this show, Brother Mark, speaking about Noah, I want these people that are hearing, that are called by God to hear this, to understand what happened to Noah. Mm-hmm. Noah was a sinner like us. And after the deluge, he continued sinning. God doesn't want you to become saint for angels.
Hey, brother, you're cutting in and out. Brother Jose.
You will hand with the mark of the beast. This is the problem. It has already started. They are here. This guy as scientist. This guy as alien. They are here, people. Wake up. This is a fight against the Lamb, not against Israel. It's against the Lamb. What are you doing with your gratitude to Jesus Christ? Are you willing to suffer for the truth, for the example of Jesus Christ? Or no, there are no halfway. Or you seek to follow the example and you act according to what Jesus said and you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit giving glory to Jesus and teaching as do Jesus proceed, or you will get the mark. You will get the thoughts of the Antichrist in your form and you will act as you want in your right hand. That's the hand of the power. That's the hand that we act. And you will start thinking like him and acting the will he wants you to do, not Jesus. This is the mark. It's a spiritual mark before it comes physically.
Yes.
Wake up. Wake up. You need to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and center your eyes in the example, in the teachings of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of noise there. Wars and rumors of war. Earthquake.
Right.
Blood moon.
Right.
But what Jesus said to us when these days come, what Jesus said, do not be afraid.
Yes.
Which voice are you going to follow? Or you're a follower of the BBC News? Or you follow of the counter-information that the system is sending by the technology to put you the mark until you get a robot in yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Which army are we? Father Kurt, you want to comment?
Yes, my brother. Just I want to comment something that you said just not too long ago about those that are using God's grace as an excuse to drink, to still live their worldly lifestyles. Now, brothers and sisters, you got to understand that there is a fine line between the Lord knows the things that you're struggling with right now at this current point in your walk with him. You know, we're not all supposed to come to the Lord as a shiny, brand new, you know, perfect Christian. No, we all got things in our life that is messed up. We all got things in our life that we need to lay down and let go to him. Let go and let God, as our Mama Jackie said the last Sunday on our show. There are things, there are habits in our life, because I hear from people that, you know, need to quit smoking, that, you know, they feel like, oh, well, you know, this is such a bad thing in my life. Yes. It is, but there are things in your life that you do need to let go to the Lord, and he's going to work that out of you slowly and gradually. There are things in my life that, you know, whenever I first came to the Lord, that God said, listen, that's not really prevalent right now. But as time went on, he made those issues arise, and he got them out. So, yes, it's a continual growing process, it's a continual process of dying daily, as the Apostle Paul said. You know, I die daily. So, yes, the Lord does understand the struggles that you are having. For those that are out there with, you know, addictions to drugs like meth, methamphetamines, painkillers, those that have the addictions to alcohol, to cigarettes, to a lot of different things, pornography. You know, he will deliver you from those, but you have to be willing to let go and let God. If you continue to hold on to those things, continue to hold on to those addictions, those habits that you know are not of God, then you are falling, you are falling away from him, and you are not under his grace. So, yes, we don't want to condemn you, because, you know, we didn't come to condemn you. You know, that's not our job to convict you. It's the Lord's job. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict you of the things that you need to let go and lay down to him. So my question to you, saints, you know, if you are going through those things, are you willing? Are you willing? And are you knowingly still participating in the things that God says is not pleasing? that right there is truly the most destructive thing in our lives. Because, Brother Jose, I'm sorry, I didn't even mean to go off on this, but there's one thing that comes to my mind is whenever the Lord said, this is the temple of God. And, yes, things are things that happen to us, you know, there are many ways to dirty the temple of God. But first and foremost, he does the work from the inside out. As many times that Brother Marcus has shared about, you know, you know, you got to clean the spiritual man for, you know, God's presence to come and sit and dwell, for the Holy Spirit to come in. There's some things that are in your life that need to come out, so to speak. I'm paraphrasing. He first looks at your heart and searches your heart. He knows your heart. If you're wanting there, you know, if you're truly wanting to change and truly wanting things to give to him, it's going to happen. Because look at me. I mean, perfect example of what the Lord can do, what God's grace can do for you. You know, been getting high since the age of 12, and then boom, one day after I said, you know, all right, God, if this is you, I'm all for it. In one day, he delivered me from doing drugs, like instantly. Amen. I didn't have the side effects from it. I didn't have the withdrawals. I didn't have none of that. And it was by God's grace that these things happened. So yes, brothers and sisters, give it unto the Lord. Give the habits and the things that you need laying down unto the Lord, and watch your life change. Amen.
That's true. Because, amen, brother. But it's easy. You see, I want to end my idea with this. If you have already sincerely in your heart, in your room, you need to see. But if you have already put yourself in the disposition to serve the Lord, you have done your part. If God doesn't call you for anything, then just pray for others, then help another. You are serving God. Nobody needs to be an evangelist. Not all are pastors. But you are a son of God. That's the most thing. You are a servant and faithful servant, and Jesus is seeing you being faithful in those things that he put in your heart. So you are serving, you are like Noah. But after, maybe God has another plan for you. He will give you another task. And if you are faithful, he will give you more. And each day will be a teaching day. And you will grow. And one day you wake up, and God is using for a multitude. God, you are preaching for a group. You are preaching in a radio. And you don't know how you get there like me. I don't know how I get here. But I know it was Jesus that brought me here. So when people hear me, you are not hearing my story. You are hearing the story that God wrote in my life, because one day I decide, even if it cost my life, it cost your life too, to save me. So it's not heavy. You will help me, and I want to keep my gratitude to you. It cost me a lot. I have scars, but I have the power, not my God's power. I have his grace, and I don't charge for serving God. I don't charge because I don't have that right. When Jesus said, you should do the tithing and do not forget the mercy and the justice of God, it was not for her disciples. He was talking to the Pharisees.
Yes.
He was saying, woe you Pharisees that charge tithings and forget this. They were already choosing their path. They were refusing Christ. But to their disciples, Jesus said, it was given free for you, give for free. So I don't have charge. I don't have purpose to charge anything. If you want to help me, I accept. Even Jesus accepted the help of the people.
Yes.
But I don't have the right to mix law with grace. I don't reduce Jesus Christ in my life, and I will not teach for you to reduce Jesus Christ in your life.
Yes.
If you do things because you are obliged, you are not grateful. This is a problem. You are pain. It's heavy burden. God wants to see your generosity. But don't feed crocs. Feed people like Brother Mark. They don't charge you. They give you everything for your help. Feed this ministry. If you don't have money, with prayers. Ask Lord to bring anything he needs. He needs a wife. He's a man like you and me. Ask, there are a lot of things on the grace, only money. Brother Marcus is a man with flesh and bones. He feels the cold too. The Indians feel the cold.
Yes.
So, there's a lot of work in the kingdom to do. Why we are going to feed the liars, the pedophilians, calling Christian to this guy.
Brother Jose, you're breaking up again. Brother Jose, something's messing up. You keep breaking in and out, my brother. I trust and pray that. Okay, there you go. We got you back. You're clear. For a minute there, brother, you're breaking in and out.
So people can hear me now, okay? So I was saying that if you want to help in the kingdom, it's so easy. So easy to help. Just feed the army. Just feed the army with prayers, with simple gestures, small offerings. That's what Jesus has you. You are being faithful. Brother Marcus, we have a brother here on the chat room that requests for prayer for his brother. His brother is called Scott. I think he has a diagnosis cancer on the throat. Would you like to pray for this brother, please?
Yes, and if I heard correctly, was something wrong with his throat?
Yes.
Yes, a cancer, diagnosis of a cancer.
Okay, yeah, and what was his first name?
His name is R.J. Scott. R.J. Scott is his name.
Well, Father, I just lift up R.J. right now, boldly to the throne of grace we come, to obtain grace and mercy in time of need. And, Father, by the power of the indwelling Spirit of God and through your anointing, Father, I speak to every cell in his body, especially in respect to the throat area. And, Father, any cell that is rebellious, any cell that is out of sync with original design and purpose in the likeness of his Creator, God the Father, Abba Father, I curse that right now in the name of Jesus. But I do loose the living life of Jesus, who came to give life, and that more abundantly, into the very cell structure of his throat, his esophagus area, Father God, any residual effects of any thing that has come down from anything physically or spiritually, consequentially, through the bloodline or even through action, Father, we cancel that assignment right now, and we release any spirit from their assignment, and we say no weapon formed against him shall prosper, and we say that every tongue that shall rise against him that was going to try to keep him bound up to this physical malady is made null and void now by the blood of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God. And we give you praise right now, Jesus, because you're the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And we just thank you, Father. We just thank you right now for what you're going to do in this brother's life, and you're going to give a testimony out of this test in Jesus' name.
Amen, brother. Amen. I agree. Brother, can you please, in 1 minute, give us your final thoughts?
I have a final thought that I'd like to share, Brother Jose. We know that according to Scripture that we are indeed living in the last days, and we see the seducing spirits prevalent. We see doctrines of devils coming up everywhere. And in reference to that, there's a Scripture that I found in the book of Hebrews that spoke to my heart. It's in chapter 13 and it's verse 9. And this is what it says. It says, "Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited." And this refers to the law and the mixture. "But simply be established, let your hearts be established in God's simplistic grace." And when your heart is established in the pure grace of God, you'll not be giving heed to seducing spirits, strange doctrines, or any kind of doctrines of demons. Amen, Brother Jose.
Amen. Amen. And that's the simplicity of the gospel that even the children understand when they hear the first time. It's grace. Grace is something that is not heavy.
That's right.
So, Brother Marcus and Curtis, I will welcome your presence. I am just wishing that next week we have another powerful teaching from yourselves. I want to thank everybody here in chat room for joining the army. God bless you all. God bless you, Brother Max. God bless you, Curtis. I will be on your show. I will be joining the army on your show on the next weekend. Stay blessed, my brother. Stay blessed to keep praying for all our brothers on the Pine Ridge Reservation. Amen.
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 We love you, Brother Jose. God bless you. We love you much.
God bless you. Hey, bye-bye.
Man, we love you, brother.
See you later.
God bless.
God bless.
Yeah. the precious blood that my Jesus spilled. Now the curse of sin has no hold on me. Whom the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. Now my debt is paid, it is paid in full by the precious blood that my Jesus.